Ashley from Our Splendid Life.
Hi, it's Laura from Millennial Stepmom.
And we are so excited to welcome you to Combo Moms, a podcast for blended families.
Each week, we'll be sharing tools and resources for your step family, along with stories and experiences from viewers like you.
Okay, so let's start with how you met your husband and became a stepmom.
So it's a funny story. So for those of you who don't know it, because I've talked about it on Instagram a bunch, but Brian and I met in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It was not romantic. We met at 5 o'clock in the morning. He was at a bachelor party and I was at a birthday party. He had recently been separated. I was single, not looking to meet anybody at all. And one of his friends was motioning for my friends to come over to them and chat. And it ended up with me talking to Brian. We exchanged numbers and that was it. We went our separate ways, but we ended up texting each other the next day, found out we had a lot in common, and started up a friendship, actually, long distance, because he was living in New England at the time, and I was living in New Jersey. But basically, we went on our first date like 3 months later, and then everything kind of just started to move quickly from there. It was just kind of like, I don't know, just the I just knew he was the one. It sounds so cliche, but I feel like I just did.
Yeah.
And then I met his son a couple months later, who's now my stepson, and we moved in really fast. And actually everybody was saying, you're making a huge mistake. This is too fast. Cause it was all within like 6 months span.
Wow. Yeah.
But then everybody quickly was like, when are you gonna get married? When are you gonna have kids?
Oh,
like, so it went from you're making a mistake to, okay, let's start moving faster.
Right. I love that. That's awesome. And totally meant to be, right?
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's just, I feel like one of those things where, and here I am, never thought in a million years I would be a stepmom.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So
good. So what do you feel like once you became a stepmom, like, what were the biggest obstacles for you? Like, that must have been such a big change to not only get married to someone pretty quickly, right? But then, like, actually becoming a stepmom, right?
Yeah. So the early years, I would say, were pure insecurity. And I know, you know, I talk about this a lot, and I know you talk about it on your blog. Just those beginning years are the hardest with blended families. I felt like everything I was doing wasn't recognized. I felt like I wasn't important in my stepson's life. I felt like I was just kind of the babysitter. So I was changing diapers. He was so young. He was 2 and a half. I was baking cupcakes for him when, you know, if his mom was traveling or wasn't available, I was picking up a lot of, the care when I was with Brian, when he was with us. So I just felt like it was just insecurity and, feeling like I didn't matter. That was the biggest thing for me. And I think, I sort of became like possessive of items that maybe we had, not possessive, but just clothing items I would feel like would go back to their house and never come back. And I felt like it was personal and, just things that, in the beginning, you're still kind of sorting out for yourself that you haven't found. And I feel like that took a couple years to get over all of that and to find my place and feel secure.
I totally get that. And I felt the same way, I think, especially like you mentioned the possessions. That's so funny because I feel like it really is common. And looking back now, I'm like, I can't believe I got mad about something. But at the moment, like right in the moment, you are like, I was so upset about it and it was such a big deal to me. And so it's actually kind of cool to see that progress. So like, where are you at with those obstacles now? Like, do you feel like, how have you been able to move into that stepmom role and really feel that confidence versus the insecurity that you felt at the very beginning?
So I really felt like I had to find my own personal role. I think in the beginning, I was trying too hard to be the mom. And I think that's why I was getting possessive of things. And that's why I wasn't feeling like I mattered, because I was trying too hard to be what I wasn't going to ever be, which is the mom. But I didn't know I was doing that. I had to step back and say, who am I in this relationship? Who am I to my stepson? I'm the stepmom, and I need to own that role. And I think that once you start to take that approach and say, you know what, he has a mother already, I don't need to be that, then you really start to fall into place of what it means to be you in the relationship and what your responsibilities are. And they're different for everybody. Of course, you know, some of you out there take on a lot more responsibility if the mother is not in the picture, or, you know, just depending on your custody situation. But I think the less you try to be mom, the more beneficial it is for you. And, you know, in my life with my stepson, I'm sort of his go-to if he wants to talk about things. If he wants to, you know, have a discussion with his dad, but he wants to kind of bounce ideas off of me first. So I'm sort of like that preamble for him. Yeah. But there's, yeah, different ways that you fall into the role, and you have to find it and feel confident in it. It took years, but that was pretty much how I did it.
Yeah, no, that's such a great perspective to have too, though, because everyone's blended family situation is so unique and so different. And so not really feeling like you have to step into this, like, I have to be a certain way, and really being flexible to your situation and supporting, like, obviously you're supporting your spouse, right? Because that's kind of encouraging him to be a better parent, but also like you're stepping into, you know, becoming a stepmom the way that looks for you. So I love that. I love that. That's kind of what it looks like. So tell me more about like your co-parenting situation. Like, what is your role in your stepson's life? Like, what does visitation look like? Give me more details on that.
So we do 50-50, which 50-50 custody, and that is physical and legal custody. We've had that from the beginning. We were lucky and fortunate that my husband and his ex had a amicable split. They got together, they were adults about it, and they were able to just come to a good plan. Now, the one thing that that's been very complicated for us is that in Massachusetts, I don't know if it's other states too, but we had to choose one person to have the school district. So despite 50-50, we decided that his mom would have the school district, but then none of us could anticipate where we would be living years down the line. You know, yeah. She remarried, we got married, and our jobs are in different areas. So we ended up, we're like 40 minutes from where he goes to school. So we do so much driving. So that's kind of, that takes its toll on us, but it wasn't something we could really, you know, anticipate.
Right, at the time.
But yeah, exactly. But co-parenting wise, I felt like it's always been good, but lately it's been really good. And I think, I know I've talked to you, Ashley, about this before, going back to not being the mom, I've now gotten to terms with how does his mom feel? So I am always conscious about how she feels. So for the holidays, if we're talking about who's going to spend Christmas with him, who's going to spend New Year's with him, I think if my husband doesn't take a strong position where he's like, I really want him to be with us this holiday, I feel like I'm taking it from her. So my instinct is, well, then he should just be with his mom if you're not so strong about it. So that's kind of something, I don't know if I would say challenging, but I've just been more apt to thinking about how she feels. And I think that's helped me personally too, with making decisions and not overstepping.
I love that. No, I love that so much.
So, but now it is your turn, Ashley, to hear some more about you.
Yeah.
So I want to hear some backstory. When you had your oldest daughter, did you ever imagine that you would be in your situation now?
Honestly, no. It's so funny that you say that, because I was, my daughter was an unplanned pregnancy. And so I wasn't really in like a super involved relationship with her dad when she was born, but so she shifted my entire life, right? Like becoming a mom was the most amazing thing that ever happened to me. And so from that perspective, I just knew I would do anything for this little baby, like whatever it takes. Like, she was my heart and soul. And so honestly, a lot of maybe programming came into this and like just generational right. stuff where I felt like you have to make it work with her dad. Like you have to, like, if you're going to be a good mom, you need to figure out a way to be with her dad. And so we ended up getting married, and of course it was a total disaster. And very quickly after, so she was born in November and we were already separated by April. So it was just a wow. really, yeah. And so it was yeah. a really quick kind of relationship, but my daughter has always been my number one priority. And so there's a lot of backstory going all the way into like our custody battle, because what happened was once we separated, the courts got involved and it just got so messy. Like, mm-hmm. We did a long distance actually. So at the very beginning, we started out in South Carolina. We moved to Texas together for his job. And then he went back to South Carolina. So when we separated and decided to take a break, I lived with my grandparents. I decided to move in with my grandparents and he decided to move back in with his parents in South Carolina. So we were across the country and I didn't hear from him for over a year. And so I just honestly at that point felt like I was going to just be a single mom. Like I was ready to kind right. of step into that role, and I got an apartment and a full-time job and I never heard from him. And so I really moved forward with my life and kind of felt like things were going great. But as soon as I filed for divorce, there were like all these red flags in the custody court system that he had already filed without, I didn't get served any paperwork or anything wow. like that.
So, that's incredible incredible that can happen.
It was totally a shock to me. And so, because I thought this divorce is going to be so easy. He hasn't seen us in a year. He's just going to sign the paper. And it went from that to like, the judge in South Carolina was, it felt to me like he was very biased. And so I had to quit my job, give up my apartment and move back to South Carolina and live within 30 miles of my ex. And so that it rocked my world, because not only was she kind of, you know, like as a single mom, like I was so focused on her, but then I had to start sharing her with someone who was never really involved to start with, you know what I right. mean? And so from there, it got complicated, but then we were able to kind of agree that I wasn't going to be living close to him. Like he knew that I didn't want to live there. And so we were able to come up with an agreement that I would be able to move back to Utah. And, you know, during this time, I end up getting remarried to my husband now. And
yeah,
kind of like you, same thing. It was like totally meant to be. Like I wasn't looking for anyone, but we just kind of like fell into each other's lives very randomly. And it was just kind of perfect timing almost, but also the worst timing, you know?
Like, yeah. You're going through all of this. Funny. And
yeah. But, so we end up getting married and then he goes to law school in Atlanta so we can be close for visitation back and forth. And then he takes a job in Utah. So we kind of anticipated this. So our paperwork was very specific and I felt like I just kept waiting for things to get better. Like I was just like, oh, it's going to get better when she starts kindergarten, or, oh, it's right. going to get better when we move or whatever. And it just kept getting worse, honestly. Like, and so when we finally moved to Utah, our visitation was that he would get her one weekend a month and we would pay for all the plane tickets. And so it turns out like we weren't specific enough for it to say that she had to fly as an unaccompanied minor. So they required that I would fly with her. Like they basically said, we're not going to put her on a plane as an unaccompanied minor. So I was flying back and forth. I was leaving, you know, and we had kids in between. So I was leaving my husband and my other kids to fly back and forth. She was missing school. So at that point, yeah, I was like, we've got it. Yeah. I'm like, we've got to get this paperwork figured out. I can't do this anymore. Like I was ready to go back to court and fight again. And anyone who has been through like a traumatic custody experience, like that is the worst thing. That's like the one thing you don't want to do, right?
It's for
like,
sure. For sure.
I wanted to try everything I could to make it work before then. And so I called my attorney and I was like, look, this isn't working. Like we've got to change something. We're going to have to fight it out. And it was in that moment that like, I just felt really, I know that it was divinely inspired, but mm-hmm. I felt like the answer to my prayers was that she needed to live with her dad. And I was mm-hmm. like, no way. Like there's no way that's going to happen. I will never let that happen. But it just, this peace came over me when it should have been such like this contentious, terrible situation. And I just had this feeling of peace that that's what she needed to do. And so without even thinking twice about it, I literally called her stepmom and I was like, okay, I'm going to let her live with you, but this is how it's going to go. And so then kind of, I was able to establish a little bit more boundaries, and that leads us to where she is today. So she decided to live with her dad, and they kind of stepped up into that role. And so now I'm the one, I get her all summer. I get her for all the vacations, anytime during the school year that I want. I usually fly out there so she doesn't have to travel. So I'm the one who's kind of doing the traveling, but it's more of like this, our relationship totally has evolved and changed, but I feel like where I am now is what is best for her. And so putting right. my own priorities and the things that I want, it just changed the dynamic of our relationship. Like, I don't feel like we definitely don't co-parent, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, first, I just feel like it is so big of you to make, first of all, the sacrifices you were making in the beginning, all was for her. And, you know, you made this ultimate sacrifice, which wasn't something you wanted to do, but you did it for what was best for her, which is, I feel like, is so rare with a lot that we hear about in this community, with these high conflict situations. But sometimes, you know, what's best for your child isn't always what's best for you. And I know we've talked about that before. I felt the same way over the years, just with certain decisions that may have hurted me, but were better for my stepson. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what's most important. And if you can get to a place like you did, you're just making such an impact in your child's life. And, you know, one day, if she doesn't already, hopefully she'll appreciate it.
And I totally screwed up along the way too. You know what I mean? Like, obviously it wasn't always this, like, I'm going to do what's best for her. Like, there were definitely moments that I just wanted to dig in my heels and be like, no, I'm her mom. I get her for Christmas. Like what you were saying.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so I totally agree with you. And it's really interesting to kind of look back on that and say, it's about our kids. And so when you get to that point, it's such a healthy relationship, but for her and I, even though it doesn't look traditional, I guess.
Right. But what is traditional really?
Oh, exactly.
I feel like, I know I could speak from personal experience going through different divorces as a child to now. I'm like, I don't even know what traditional means. I just think
no one's normal.
Yeah, no one's normal. We're all crazy. Yeah. It's okay. But at least we have each other. Right.
For sure.
You had briefly mentioned parallel parenting. So what does that look like and in your current situation? And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So this is actually something that I kind of stumbled on, and we were already doing it before I knew that it had a name. And a lot of people reach out to me and they're like, I didn't know that's what it was called. And it was the same thing when I kind of figured it out. And I was like, but it makes sense. And being intentional about making that decision to shift out of co-parenting, it like relieved so much stress for me, because I see all these people who have great co-parenting relationships, and I will not ever fit into that. Like that will never be my situation. And so taking that pressure off of myself and being like, no, I don't have to co-parent. Like, I can still be a good parent.
Oh yeah.
If I'm choosing to stay in my own lane. And so basically what parallel parenting is choosing to, I don't speak to her dad at all. We have no communication. Like, I haven't talked to him in years. Like, he definitely avoids me.
Yeah.
And her stepmom does all of the communicating. So, which I'm fine with, and I respect her, and I think we see eye to eye on most things, and we really try. We have a good relationship. So we really try to put my daughter first. And so, but parallel parenting basically means that you have the same goal in mind. So, right? So you're headed in the same direction as the other parent, and you know that you want what's best for your child, healthy, happy, like you want them to be successful. And so, but there's no crossing over. There's no like moving into like, what are you doing with her? What's going on at your house? Like, I trust them to do what's best for her when she's at their house. And they trust me to do what's best for her when she's at my house. So we just don't ever have that conversation of, you know, I mean, it's definitely not co-parenting. Like, I don't have an open, constant conversation about how we're choosing to parent her, but I know that she's doing really well there and she's happy and healthy, and they know kind of the same thing with me. So that's how it's worked for us, especially with long distance. Like, and I think you could probably do this if you were close, but especially the fact that we live so far away, like it would be impossible for me to be overly controlling, not even controlling, but like for me to really be involved in every single detail in her life. Like, it's just not possible.
Right.
And so I was able to really step into this role of like okay, parallel parenting works for me. This is like, it just took a lot of pressure off, if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. And honestly, I think I always say that no parenting situation is the same. Whether you're co-parenting, right, whether you're parallel parenting, you have to do what works best for you. And honestly, it, you know, your situation, it sounds kind of ideal because in a way, because you don't have to stress about, just like you said, you can just trust the fact that she's with her stepmom and her dad, and you focus on the time that you have with her when she's with you. And you just, and sometimes it may be hard, but it's also sometimes, like you said, can kind of make things a little bit easier in just the way that you go about it. I kind of feel like our situation, we co-parent, but maybe we also parallel parent a little bit,
right?
Because we sort of do, I mean, we trust them 100% with when he's with them. We do converse if he's with his mom, and, you know, we have to discuss, I don't know, holiday presents or just last night my husband had a parent-teacher conference he had to go to for my stepson. And actually they went together, and so there's like overlap in that, but generally we don't, parenting wise, we don't call her if we're having an issue. We handle it at our house. And she pretty much does the same, but that's not really for a lack of, that's for no other reason other than that's just how we've began functioning and what works for us. So, I think everyone's different. I think everyone, whatever works best to each their own.
Right. Well, and like to say to the listeners, like if you have these expectations of what you think your family should look like or this co-parenting situation, like let go of it. You know what I mean? Like just let go of this. I mean, it's not idealistic, right? Like we have to just kind of, I mean, I, for a long time, I felt like I was surviving. Like I was totally in survival mode, right? And so just being able to have that freedom of like, it's okay. Like it's okay for me to let her live with her dad. And like, you know, it's okay for me to trust them and it's okay for us to do this. Like really just step into that and feel empowered with your decisions and don't overly complicate things, you know? So
absolutely. And it takes, I also want to point out, it takes time to get there. Okay. I've been in this for going on 9 years this year. And I will tell you, whoever, everyone who's listening, it was so not this easy in the beginning. I was struggling. And actually, this is kind of a funny story, but when I actually moved in with my husband, his split was so amicable that they kind of were just like, oh, we still have, like, she still had stuff at the house, and I moved into the house, and like, she would come by and be like, oh, do you want this picture on the wall? And it was like, so like close for the beginning of our relationship. And I would be like, oh my God, is this going to be our life forever? Are we going to just, should we all move in together and share a house? Cause I don't know if I can handle that, of course though, life has moved on and we've grown, we've expanded, but it takes, so for some of you who are in the beginning years, just know that I found those to be the most challenging. And as time goes on, it gets better.
For sure. Yep. I love that.
So, switching topics a bit, Ashley, do you want to discuss blogging a bit? What do you think?
Oh yeah. So this is actually, it's one of the things that I feel like I just authentically kind of stepped into on accident. Like I remember, like there was a point in my custody battle, well, and it was actually right after we moved to Utah, and I kind of talked about how I just couldn't do this anymore, and I just remember feeling like I couldn't even get out of bed. Like I was struggling, I was felt so alone, and I just didn't even know what to do or where to start. And this inspiration hit me that like you just need to share, like you just need to start talking about it. And so it's actually really funny because if you scroll all the way back to like, and I'm the worst, I like deleted blog posts too that were really bad because I'm like, I don't look at those. But like even on my Instagram, I started out, so one of the very first empowered steps that I took for myself was to just start working out. And so I felt like health and fitness kind of for a while, it was really easy for me to talk about. It was something that I started sharing and I had a good response from, but then I just felt this nudge to like talk more and more and more about our family. And so gradually I started posting more, and I really felt connected to this community. And it's So what's crazy to me is I felt like my situation was like no one else had been through something as insane as me, right? Like I felt like everything that I went through, I was like, please tell me that I'm the only one, you know? I mean, because really it was terrible. And so, but having people reach out to me and just be like, no, I cannot believe I just found your page. Like I, this is my situation. It's exactly the same, has been amazing.
Yes.
So, yeah. And I feel like just kind of, I don't know, also shifting from like the challenges and like sharing challenges to like actually making a positive impact. And like, I love this about you too. Like, I feel like we both knew that we could share these different tools and resources to like help blended families because we're in the thick of it and we're, but we're not complaining about it either. You know what I mean? Like, I like that it's a way to share the struggles and like, this is real. Like, this is so real what you're going through right now. And like, sometimes like you just have to sit it out and like just know that it's going to get better. But there are also ways to like to actually take action and make a change and focus on the positive. So and like Laura, I follow other stepmoms, but I have to say like I love your perspective and how you use your platform as a safe place for everyone to share their experiences. Like, how did you get started with that?
So, well, first, thank you, because I love your page too. Although that's probably why we're doing this podcast together. But yeah, so I actually, it's funny, I Googled, I was so upset one day, if this was back in the earlier years, and I started Googling what to do when you're a stepmom and you're unhappy or being a stepmom. And the first thing that came up was, if you're thinking of becoming a stepmom, run while you still can. And I was like, no, why is this the first article? Like, come on, seriously. Yeah. And so at that moment, I just shut my computer and like went about my day. But I started thinking to myself like, okay, there's got to be more out there. And so I did find some resources. Like I found Jamie's page. I found a lot of other positive things, but I did notice that the positivity was so much, was minuscule in comparison to what was out there that was negative. And then it took me a couple years to get up the courage to do it. But I started to just post and the same thing with me. If you go back to the beginning of my Instagram, it's so different than, and I've archived some posts because I'm like, oh, this is weird.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Which I try not to too much because, you know, you do want to, you do want to see, like, show that you had a starting point and that you've evolved over time. Oh, but I have to say that it has been so life-changing and just fulfilling to do this, to have this platform, because I just love helping people. And that is that's what motivates me in the morning. That's what makes me keep going with this page, is that even just to have one person message me and say, what you talked about this week resonated so much with me. I'm going through this and it helped me. That just makes me feel incredible. And I just love it for that reason more than anything.
Absolutely. I love that so much. And I'm so excited for this podcast. I feel like moving into really giving a voice to positivity in the stepmom community and the stepfamily community is such an amazing resource for someone who's struggling. Like, I know when I was going through my hardest part of my custody battle, like, I just wish someone else would have been there for me. And so that's kind of our goal for this. And we really hope that you're able to listen and something resonates with you and you feel like you're not alone anymore as you're listening to these podcasts. And so we're really excited to cover more in-depth, you know, details and the struggles. Like, what do you want to talk about kind of some upcoming things for them to look forward to on our podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to dive into being the mom, being the stepmom, our perspectives, how to deal with high conflict and how to, you know, take a step back and assess your situation and find ways to improve it and to find your happiness. Thank you for tuning in. We will be releasing a new episode of season one every week. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Instagram @OurSplendedLife and @MillennialStepmom.